Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conlin, and what you just heard is the Nickelodeon theme song to Salute Your Shorts. And I am popping on for a bonus episode as Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, has aired on Max, so I don't have to worry about spoilers anymore. I can just go nuts. And this docuseries is now number one on Max, so a lot of people have watched, and a lot of child stars are speaking out. So on today's show, I'll be interviewing Michael Ray Bauer, who, if you're like me, you watched him in the role of Eddie Donkey Lips on Nickelodeon on Salute Your Shorts in the very early 90s. And I went back and watched some clips on Salute Your Shorts. And like any other Nickelodeon show during that era, it is kind of gross, kids getting splattered with goo or pies in their face. And I also think like any other kid show in the 90s, there's a lot of name calling. You're an idiot. You're a moron. And I think I was about 8 when I watched this show, close to one of my kids' ages now. And it definitely looks to be more of a teen show, not super appropriate for a 7 or 8 year old. I did notice some of the scenes I watched, some of the female characters, Dina and Tully, they talk about wanting to literally kill their friend Zizi. Not horrible. I mean, it was in passing, but it's just odd. So in Quiet on the Set, they do also go into a lot of detail about how inappropriate and how horrible the showrunner and the writer and director, Dan Schneider, was. Now, Dan Schneider was not involved in Salute Your Shorts that I have seen anywhere on IMDb or anywhere else. So I'm just pivoting a bit. But Dan Schneider, he was awful to the adults as well, just as a boss. And if you watch the doc, you will know. I mean, he created a character that he made the writers write about named Penelope taint. And this character was for Amanda Bynes. And these poor writers in the writer's room were like, ew, what? I mean, it was spelled differently, but obviously everyone knows what a taint is. And he actually went as far as to tell the writers not to tell the kids what it actually means. Another point in the doc, a writer says that he dared her to eat 2 pints of ice cream in 30 minutes, this poor little thing she was, and he'd give her $300, and she was a broke writer, and she did it, and she was vomiting, and he never paid her. It's just, there's so many more situations like that. I won't go into it, but it should also be noted that I believe Dan Schneider really contributed to Amanda Bynes' mental instability. Dan basically tried to help emancipate her from her parents when she was a teen, and it didn't work. And Amanda began to spiral. And at one point, Dan was very close with Amanda's father. So when Amanda began to spiral, she even made allegations against her own father at one point of sexual assault. It was just a mess. And clips have been circulating of her as a child in these situations on the show, and people are commenting, you know, this poor girl didn't really stand a chance, or back then anyway. So let's get to Brian Peck, who was responsible for the sexual assault of Drake Bell, which was incredibly heart-wrenching, and the fact that so many celebrities like James Marsden and the cast of Boy Meets World wrote letters on behalf of Brian Peck when he was in court. And this was very confusing. But the documentary speculated that maybe they didn't have all of the information. But what's absolutely unacceptable is that this pedophile, Brian Peck, served 16 months in prison. He gets out in 2005 and he goes right back to work on film sets with children. He is a registered sex offender, but he is still working around children on sets. And the Daily Mail wrote this article back in 2015 detailing the John Doe versus Brian Peck, who we now know as Drake Bell, and Brian out working on sets as a dialogue coach and as an actor doing scenes with children on Disney shows. All you have to do is look at Brian's IMDb. He was an actor in Jack and the Beanstalk, in Bedtime Stories, like Adam Sandler. I'm so disappointed. And he was actually able to act on set with the show The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. And I'm like, what? This is just unacceptable. This is all after 2005 when he was released from prison for being a pedophile. And the state of California passed the Child Performer Protection Act in 2012. And of course, Megan's Law was passed in 1996, where you do have to disclose if you're a registered sex offender. But it looks like as of 2018, per the law firm Joseph C. George, Hollywood was ignoring this. And Deadline reported on it as well. And I mean, look at Brian Peck. That is proof right there. I did link out the Deadline.com article. And again, this was in 2018, and I don't know what's happening now, but I will certainly work to find out if it's gotten better in Hollywood. But wait until you hear about Michael Bauer's experience with Brian Peck. It is absolutely nuts. He literally did a movie with him where Brian was the director, and this was Michael Bauer's first movie. And at the time, Brian was the dialogue coach on Growing Pains. So this movie, Kirk Cameron is in it, Jeremy Miller, and other well-known actors like Sean Astin. And by the way, the movie is called The Willies, okay? And it's about three young boys. Yes, I will leave it there, now knowing what we all know. Okay, and just one more thing before I play the interview with Michael Bauer, who, by the way, you guys are going to love. He is so sweet, and I just love him. Anyway, you'll see. So likable. Okay, so I wanted to give a quick update on the other Nickelodeon PA that was featured in the documentary, the other pedophile, Jason Michael Handy, who escorted kids to and from the set and was also said to volunteer with children in local churches. It's just disgusting. And what I'm about to update you on was pulled from an article from the Cinemaholic, which is also linked in the notes. So Jason Michael Handy was convicted of lewd acts with a minor. This is back in 2002 or 2003. Lewd acts on a minor, distributing explicit material by email, child sexual exploitation, and per court records, he'd actually assaulted a 9-year-old victim by forcefully kissing her in her home while they were playing video games together back in 2002. And then he told her not to tell her mom. So he was sentenced to a total of 6 years in prison. And they found like all this child porn. They even talk about in the documentary how they found baggies of little girls' underwear. It's so bad. But he was released early while registering as a sex offender. So then we get to 2014, and Jason Handy was arrested again on October 7th, 2014, for 3 counts of felony indecent liberties with a child, plus 2 counts of felony sex offender violations. He was held on a $1 million bond while awaiting court proceedings, and this ultimately resulted in him getting convicted for good. So this time it was in a federal jurisdiction. So he's 49 years old and he's being incarcerated at a low medium security federal correctional institute in St. Petersburg, Virginia, or Petersburg, Virginia. And he's not expected to be released until 2038. So they don't change. It is so sick. They get out and they do it again. And they do it again. And yeah, it's so heartbreaking. But what Michael tells me in the interview, it's a lot of different things. He has a lot of different stories about other child actors. So I think that you're all really going to enjoy this and enjoy him. So without further ado, here is my interview with Michael Ray Bauer. Hello, Michael. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm a big fan of you. I think I told you on Instagram a long time ago, I actually got a cameo from you 2 years ago from my brother, and we loved it.
Well, thank you very much for the support. I truly appreciate it.
Of course. And I grew up watching you on Salute Your Shorts. And when I looked the show up again, I was so surprised that it was only on the air for about a year. I think there were about 26 episodes. In my brain, in my 39-year-old brain right now, I thought that show was on for years. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, a lot of people did not, still don't know it. And then now to this day, they added it on some like streaming services a few years back. And then they put it on Paramount Plus, but they've only released like 10 episodes.
I did see it on Paramount Plus. I was trying to get those episodes. So I did have a chance to go back and watch some of them. And now we are speaking because obviously
a conspiracy about why they only have 10 episodes on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I actually didn't know that. Do you mind sharing that?
I don't know if it's real or not, but even before it went on streaming platforms, when they would show it every summer, they'd show a few episodes. They constantly only showed those 10 episodes. And I started to think, and I was like, why? Because I wanted to record some of them, and I'm like, why are they not showing some of these other episodes? And then they put it on streaming services, and I'm like, wow, it seems to be only these 10 episodes. And I'm like, do they own the rights anymore? Sometimes contracts for people or the writer left the show at the end of the season, mm-hmm. or did they lose it in the archives on videotapes? Have they not transferred them, all the additional episodes? It never came on DVD officially. Yeah. And you would think Paramount Plus, if they're going to put a streaming service together, they're not just going to give you 10 episodes, or at least a year later, they're going to give you another 10 episodes or however that might work. But no, it's been 3 or 4 years and they haven't done anything.
That's
so the theory in my brain is they possibly lost contractual rights to maybe some of the actors in the episodes or the writer. Because when we finished our final episode, he left a few weeks before that. They had contract negotiation issues with Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. Maybe he took some of the tapes from the archive. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Nickelodeon, got to think that maybe they lost some stuff or some of the tapes were, they can't bring it back to streaming services. So unfortunately, a lot of people are having to look – on a thing called the Internet Archives.
Yeah.
And people have posted VHS versions of it. And there's other platforms that, you know, you can get it somehow. But you would think that it would have been on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going with that. I actually, in my sick brain, I was like, is it inappropriate? Do they find all these inappropriate things? Because I was going to tell you, you know, when I went back to watch some of it, I didn't necessarily see anything that was wildly inappropriate for Nickelodeon, right? It's the goo, the pies in the face. There was a lot of name calling. You're an idiot. You're a moron. We don't necessarily see that now in kids TV. And so you, just going back, you watched Quiet on the Set. You had a couple snippets in there from Salute Your Shorts. You made a YouTube video, and that will be released to the public on Saturday. On Saturday, I believe the date is March 23rd. So I'm a member of your YouTube channel. I watched part of this, and I was like, okay, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And that was because of your experience with Brian Peck. But before I get into that, I just want to ask you, Dan Schneider, I know, was not part of Salute Your Shorts. What was your experience like on that show? Did anything happen, or was anything echoed by what some of these child stars said on the documentary towards the cast of Salute Your Shorts?
Well, if I don't cover everything today in this interview, there is a good book that came out a few years back called Slimed, The Golden Age of Nickelodeon. And there's a lot of interviews with the people that are in the beginnings of Nickelodeon and the forefront. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of interviews with the cast from Salute Your Shorts. And there's a lot of like behind the scenes stories in that book. And there are some interesting ones that could be considered a little controversial, but to be quite honest with you guys, check out that book, you know, in case nothing is explored completely today. Mm-hmm. And since I'm such an old man, repeat the question.
No, I was going to ask you, did you experience anything on set with Salute Your Shorts that maybe was degrading, humiliating? Were any adults inappropriate? Was the set a good environment? Did it feel hostile? You know, there's all these things that were coming out. And a lot of this was like, yeah, that's how things were in the 90s. It was freaking terrible. It was bad. And I just want to know, was that all Nickelodeon shows? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't all, but what was your experience?
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing my experience, because each individual's experience may vary and they may have different views on any aspect of their working with Nickelodeon or on their respected shows. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to generalize it for now and say, we're all kids. We wanted to be actors. We went out there to play and we had a good time. And regardless of earning income for your family and supporting your family, I can only speak for me at this moment, but I didn't realize during that time if anything might have been controversial or if anything might have been negative or experiences. Of course, we always had our little issues and argument. Somebody mm-hmm. gets angry, you know, the regular type of emotions. And there might be things going on in the background. But as a kid, I'm happy to go to set every day and work. So, of course, there are experiences looking back as an older man now that I'm like, that was interesting.
Can you share one? Do you have one?
Yeah, I'll do that in a second. I was just saying there are many instances where, you know, looking as an adult, you can go back and say, I can kind of see where that's a little bit weird.
Totally. Totally. I'm with you. And sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun. I'm like, tell me one. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
You're trying to get that tea.
I'm getting it. I'm so interested.
I don't know how much tea you're really going to get. but I mean, I was sick one day and I didn't want to work. And, you know, it's a job, you know, there's thousands or if not millions of dollars on the line. So an actor, it's kind of different than sometimes a regular job where if you're not feeling as healthy, and they got a production set and you're in multiple scenes that day, you literally can't say, oh, I need to stay home today. I'm really sick. I mean, of course, if it's something major, they'll do that for you because they will make amends. But I was just having a really horrible day one day. And then, you know, I knew I had to go to work. And of course, I wish we could all stay home, but I knew what was on the line. A lot of people's their jobs are on the line and this and that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't give it my all because during the scenes, I was in the background, you know, not feeling well. My head is feeling one way.
You're a kid.
Then, then I got reprimanded. I got reprimanded to not do that on screen and, you know, to buck up. And it was a little more angrily addressed to me, but it was angrily addressed to me on a couple of occasions that exact day. And I cannot change the fact that as the day goes along, I'm getting sicker and sicker and sicker.
Right.
But yeah, as an adult, even as a child actor, I didn't appreciate that, you know, having that type of attack on me to do my job and don't look sick because you're bringing down the morale of the crew or the cast. And that was a little bit, you know, bothersome for me.
And you were 16, I believe, at this time.
Yeah, I think I think I know.
I did
92.
Yeah, so. I looked it up. You were born in, I know when you were born because I know these timelines because I'm going to get to something when you were 14 or 15. Were your parents, your dad, you spoke very highly of your dad. And I think your dad is amazing. And we'll get to that. Were your parents on set for this? You're 16. I don't know how that works. They're somewhere or they're not, or how does that work?
Yeah, I believe legally, until you're either emancipated or you're officially 18, there are laws in place for your parents or guardians, your legal guardian, to be around you at most times. Okay. My dad was definitely on set as much as possible, but I do remember me doing something with, not that I became legally emancipated, but I remember becoming my guardian somehow.
Okay.
It might not have been 100% official, but when I was like 17 or 17 and a half, somewhere around that time, my father was, you know, going to his work or doing whatever he had to do. But we also had an on-set teacher. And I think we might have filled out forms for that teacher to be our, like, legal guardian at those moments.
That makes sense.
I think that's what might have happened, is where my father is able to not always be there. And then that legal guardian, that the teacher that we probably signed contracts for, was our guardian on set. And then there were rules in place even back then for SAG and AFTRA. If you had, they would randomly send people to check the safety of the cast and the actors. And if you ever had a problem, you could call a SAG or AFTRA number and they would send a representative as soon as possible to see what's going on. You know, why is the actor calling us that he feels disturbed or whatever?
You can be anonymous, or because I would think that I wouldn't want to call if it wasn't anonymous. I don't want to be that person.
That's a good point. I've never called. Now that I think about it, should I have called when I was feeling sick? I doubt it. But I don't know. I really don't know how that played out. I never made that phone call. But I did remember a SAG and AFTRA person randomly coming and walking around for one time during the season, and then like 4 weeks later, they come again and they just, you know, walk around and see how everything's going. So they did put some things in place. But to be quite honest with you, you know, after all of this stuff that's going on that we're talking about today, SAG and AFTRA and legalese, they need to do something better. I don't know how to do it. I haven't really sat there and thought about it, but there's a lot of changes that need to come.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I discussed this earlier, but the, you know, it feels like the laws are being ignored here about the Child Protective Act in Hollywood, because, you know, Brian Peck, all you have to do is look at his IMDb and it's horrifying. He was on Disney sets. He was on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody after he literally sexually assaulted. I mean, it's awful. But going back to just Salute Your Shorts, I mean, your character's name was Donkey Lips, and they were really mean to you. They were like super mean to you. I mean, and there wouldn't be, I don't think there'd be a character now in 2024 that they would just constantly crap all over, right? And that was a big thing for me. I'm watching the clips. Budnick's always calling you a moron. He's, you know, I mean, so did that ever get to you? And did they have anyone ever just sort of be like, hey, Michael, you good? How you doing?
No, because the culture at that moment was not as it is nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was bullied, of course, growing up with a lisp, and I was bullied for my weight and the way I talk growing up. And I found a release through drama or Glee Club and acting. I felt special. I was on stage. I was the focal point. And I used humor to deflect back in the days. So while I was filming, it didn't bother me because I knew it was fake. Yeah. And I knew everybody else loved me on the set.
Yes.
And we're all a family. So at those moments, you can't take any of a script personal. You cannot do that. Even today, the kid actors of today, I would hope they would not take any of that personal. But if it's off of the set and you're getting bullied by castmates or, you know, producers or whatever stuff, you know what? Then there's an issue that needs to be handled. And again, hopefully you talk to your parents that are on set with you, or you talk to a representative about your feelings. Because that's one of the things that's missing is everybody's afraid to express their feelings.
Yeah. And I guess I'm not hinting like, oh, everybody should be more sensitive. I was just curious, you know, and you, I'm really impressed with that answer that you were able to be so mature and be so grateful and understand that it's just on paper, basically. That is really amazing. So you'd say overall at Nickelodeon, your experience was great. You didn't have that experience of those actors that were speaking or those costumers or those writers?
I mean, again, read that book called Slimed, The Golden Age of Nickelodeon, because there's some interesting behind the scenes stories. I mean, adults always have problems. So there was drugs and alcohol that entered some crew members and it affected them health-wise or whatever. Mm-hmm. But on our set, our producers and our people controlling it handled it.
Yeah.
We all knew something happened or what's going down and something entered that was not good or bad, but it was immediately handled. It was immediately handled and that person was gone, fired, reprimanded, whatever the situation may have been. Mm-hmm. And I remember a few instances like that. So they they kept us safe.
Yeah.
From my honest opinion, we were really safe. But there were instances of some alleged or inappropriate behavior from crew and with cast.
Oh.
You know, a hug here, a this there, a whatever there, you know?
Yeah.
And again, but for the grace of our producers and the people running our show, the minute they heard about it or saw it or witnessed it, bam, the hammer came down. That's why our producers and our people, they really took care of us. That's why they were a little bit angry with me because they put the hammer down. You can't be sick.
Okay.
You know, but they handled their stuff. They produced a show and they did it to the best of their ability. So I'm really grateful, you know, looking back now with everything that's going on for these people.
Okay.
You know, these producers, I don't remember any really bad issues that came from it.
Okay. I mean, and to be fair, a lot of this in the doc, it did start after 1992, which is when Salute Your Shorts ended. So, and it seemed to begin when Dan Schneider got involved, which I believe was 94 or 95. I can't recall. I'd have to look, but
I mentioned in my full length confessional on YouTube.
Testimony, yeah.
To be released probably in the next couple of days, but it got flagged like always.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. You can't talk about anything sensitive on YouTube.
Okay. I'm not big on YouTube. That's why I... Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's a topic for another day.
Okay. Okay.
But we did have some Nickelodeon executives. I don't know if you remember this from watching the video. Like you said, you skipped around. Yeah. But we did have some Nickelodeon executives that were in charge of development. And when we first started our first run of our initial six episodes, they sent out representatives from Nickelodeon to oversee the production. Mm-hmm. That means on top of our producers and all that, they sent out, you know, the big wigs, the people that are in charge of development and productions. And one of the gentlemen that came with them, I became friendly with. And then he started giving me like swag to like Yo MTV Raps because I was a fan of that. He was giving me t-shirts and stuff like that from Nickelodeon MTV. And then, you know, he was on set every day for the first 6 weeks of the first six episodes. He's a great guy. I do believe with my radar that he was a gay individual, which is no problem. I do not care. But I felt that even back then. And
you felt groomed.
But I was, well, yeah, what started to happen is he was invited me to like Universal Studios because I loved all the movies and television stuff with my friend. I had a best friend that I would hang out with, hang at his house on the weekends, and we would just hang out all the time, you know.
My dad invited you, to Universal Studios, like without your parents?
Yeah, because he's in town living in a hotel, you know, while he's in charge of the production. And he's like, he wants to check out Universal Studios. So he's like, hey, let's go. Let's go check it out. You can invite your friend and we can go have a good time. So I did that on a couple of occasions. I think we went to Disneyland. We went to Universal Studios and, you know, nothing inappropriate to my knowledge happened. Just hanging out with an older man. But then there was an instance where, you know, because he was picking us up every once in a while in like a car, a rental car, he invited us back to the hotel, his hotel. He was on like the Sunset Strip or whatever, one of those big hotels. And I love that stuff. I want to see it. He invited us back to watch movies. Like, I think the latest Indiana Jones movie. I know, again, as a kid, now knowing what I know now, I would have done a lot of things differently. But he invited us to eat popcorn and have ice cream and watch a movie. And we've already spent the day with him at Universal and Disneyland or whatever. And I'm like, all right, that sounds cool. So, you know, me and my friend, we show up. But then during we started to put on the movie, alcohol came.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No. Alcohol came out. Yeah, he made himself a drink and we were done.
Did he offer you guys a drink?
No. No.
Okay,
It come out where he made himself a drink.
Okay.
But me and my friend, we were already talked to by our parents and about hanging out with an older man at Universal or Disneyland. And we were already asked, how does he treat you? Is it all good? And we're like, yeah, it's fun. He's actually a very fun individual. But But we knew going into that hotel night of watching a movie on a VHS or whatever they had there, that was something a little sinister.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I don't know why we initially said yes, but our parents knew and they were at the ready and they were actually, you know, right there. But like I said,
you're like 15. You're like 15, maybe 16.
No, 16.
16. Like 16. Okay, this guy, what would you say? 40s, late 30s? What would you say?
I'm not good at judging. I'm going to say probably late 30s, early 40s.
Okay. And so he's hanging out with these kids a lot and then he invites you back. He makes himself a drink. Does he offer you sodas? What is he? He doesn't offer you alcohol though.
No, no. He just,
okay.
He had a popcorn maker or something that he bought or brought in or whatever.
And you guys peaced out when you saw the alcohol.
Yeah, I went in, I checked out the hotel. I'm like, because I love hotels. I love the big rooms.
Yeah.
These executives get like, you know,
sure,
big suites. And I was just like, cool. And then he pulled out alcohol and I'm like, that's one of the things we were warned about. Like, let's get out. We're done. So we went out downstairs, called from the hotel lobby, called our
Did he seem bothered? Did he seem bothered when you left or?
No, I mean, he didn't really run after us or chase after us. But when I had to go back to work a couple of days later and he was there, that was an interesting situation.
Well, Michael, I'm going to speculate something. It's not that he didn't offer you the alcohol. He was making himself a drink. You saw it. You peaced out very smartly so, because I believe, if I'm going to speculate, that was next. You guys were going to have a drink next. He was going to offer you a drink next.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but like I said,
I'm so blessed that in that moment, I was at least 16 and to understand all that situation. And the people want to blame parents and everything. But again,
different times. I'm going to say different times. I always say that.
Well, my parents and my friend's parent, they were on top of it. That's all I'm going to say. You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
Without her or my father, they didn't forcefully stop us. You're not going to a hotel. They were on top of it, but you get it. That's the situation where nothing happened. And this gentleman, from my knowledge, he's never been accused. He has never went through the court system. I've kept track to understand see if anything, nothing from my perspective came around, but I do believe this gentleman was still working for Nickelodeon and he might have been in the hiring process, might have been of Dan Schneider. Might have been. I do not know. He was the executive in charge of development and production at the time.
I'm just going to say right now, as a woman that's almost 40 in her late 30s, I would never do that. If I was a showrunner, if I was an executive, I'm not going to take the 16-year-old girls or boys and invite them places with me. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to fit in the meetings if I have to. If there is an event, a company event, of course I'll be there. But that's really strange. That's really strange.
It is. Yeah. But again, when you're younger, that's what I was trying to say. For the parents, they get to know these people a little bit, you know, because they're on set every day. And, you know, they like them. And then you go to Universal's one time and you have a good time. You come back home with like those videos on the ride or we made a little disc. They had a thing where you can sing your own song and dance and like karaoke. And then my parents or my friend's parents, they see it. They're like, oh, this guy's really cool. You know, we've talked to him a bunch. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go watch a movie for 2.5 hours or whatever. You know, like, go ahead, check it out. I'll be at the restaurant down the street. You know, I'll go to the restaurant down the street. And that's what happened. But we were at least smart enough to know. But that's the problem is if, and again, he didn't do anything to anybody that I know of.
Understood.
So I cannot go there. Mm-hmm. And I cannot speculate that that was what he was doing. But a lot of the instances, like you said, if he was an adult, he should have realized if he didn't have something behind the scenes, it's not proper to want to hang out at a hotel
and watch
a movie.
After hearing you tell me that story, I firmly believe you guys were going to be offered.
Yeah, it's possibility of now at an old age, I learned about grooming. I did not know what that was growing up. And
I didn't either. None of us did. Yeah, totally.
It might have been the start. And I was also around Corey Feldman back in the days and Edward Furlong when all of these accusations about these nightclubs for kids.
Yeah.
And they were sponsored. These nightclubs for kid actors were sponsored by big corporations like New York Seltzer. And there was a lot of adults at these like nightclubs with alcohol. It was like, I don't know if it was like a hidden party, not for the public, but it was like these places for like executives and producers and, you know, young teenage stars like Drew Barrymore, Edward Furlong, you know, whoever at the time was real famous.
Yeah.
They would have a birthday party and it would be sponsored. And the event was called Alfie Soda Pop Club.
Like A-L-F-I-E and then apostrophe S, Soda Pop Club?
That's... No, you can look it up later. It's Alfie, A-L-P-H-Y, A-L-P-H-Y, Alfie's. And it was sponsored by like New York Seltzer. So you would get free seltzer and stuff like that. And
I'm writing it down. I'm like, Alfie's Soda Pop Club. I'm going to look that up after. Wow. That is disturbing.
Yeah, so I remember going to a few parties over there. And I think I got my license around this time, you know, like 15, 16. I got my license. So I was driving on my own, going out, doing on my own. but, you know, now looking back, I found out some horror stories where Corey Feldman and people met people like that. And then Alfie himself was mentioned by Corey Feldman on the Today Show as one. He didn't really name everybody. Corey Feldman kind of reels it all back. But they were asking for a name or something on one of his interviews. And he's like, oh, Alfie Hoffman. And now he works for the Dodgers.
Oh, and my gosh.
He doesn't work for the Dodgers. Trust me. I keep track. Now knowing what I know, I got a lot of time on my hands. So I investigate.
That's really interesting. I mean, the thing is, look, these people have to be called out. Because if we've learned anything, it's that pedophilia doesn't go away. It doesn't leave your body. Right? It doesn't. You are who you are. And unfortunately, it's there forever in my opinion and everything that I've studied about this. But speaking of that, I want to pivot to when you were 14.
Pivot. Remember the episode of Friends where they're taking the couch and then they're trying to walk up the stairs.
Pivot! I say the word pivot all the time, and I've never actually put all that together. I love the word pivot.
That episode is so funny.
That's what I do. But no, this part of your video, it broke my heart for you for a number of reasons. Now, you were about 14 years old, and you can't recall exactly, you had said, but you believe that this audition you had for this movie called The Willies, directed by Brian Peck, which was about these three young boys. Now this all kind of makes sense. The Willies, three young boys. And you had this audition possibly at his apartment, his house, which felt very Harvey Weinstein-esque, you know?
My memories though are a little bit vague on that for some reason, but I remember the audition completely because of the questions I was asked.
Well, let's get to that. So
I've also visited his house for like a party at another time. So in my head, because I watched the documentary and they spoke about Brian's house where a lot of people hung out.
Yeah.
I kind of have that memory and I got him confused. I don't know if I did it at either a business or his house, the audition. But I do remember hanging out with Brian Peck in both places.
Right. So forgive me. A relaxed setting. So, but here's the deal. You're 14 years old. You're at this audition and they ask you, and I don't know if your father's in the room or if any adult is in the room with you.
You know what? You brought up a good point now that I think about it. For auditions, parents normally stay in the hallways or outside, you know, and maybe that's a law that can be changed. or something like that. That's very interesting.
About that. I mean, I feel like if I did some acting as a kid, I don't think I'd want my mom. I get embarrassed. I do worse. I think you bring them into the room possibly after, if you have questions about scheduling. Okay. Can your child be available XYZ dates, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then a question like this, would your child be comfortable doing XYZ?
Grooming would start at an audition. And if a parent is in the room, they can listen to the questions and possibly get a feel for that individual before they even get the role.
Well, but what I'm saying is, do that after they read, after they do their scene, whatever, then bring the parent in. You can ask questions. The parent can ask questions, but let's go there. So what did Brian Peck ask you at this audition when you were 14 years old?
Well, I guess they knew it was, they wanted to make sure that I was comfortable with a scene in the movie. So I believe this is probably the second audition.
Okay.
And again, like I said, it might've been at his house, but I'm a little vague on that. But this was a second audition where they probably already wanted to give me the part.
Yes.
So I went in and read, and then they wanted to ask me questions on what I was willing or comfortable to do, because they probably already saw me as that role. So they asked me, hey, we got a scene in the movie where you're in the bed waking up from a dream. And are you okay with us pouring maggots all over yourself? And you're naked in the scene. Because my character apparently sleeps naked.
A 14-year-old boy sleeps naked?
The script probably said something like, you know, kid wakes up naked with maggots, you know, over his body or whatever. That's probably what the original script said, you know? So they're asking me questions. And then he said the word naked or something. And then I'm sure he said, oh, or you could have pajamas or something. And like, I ain't doing it naked. I have, honestly, even at that age, I have body insecurities. And I'm like, I ain't doing it naked. And okay. I'm not comfortable. And he's like, oh, pajamas or something is fine. I'm like, okay, fine. And then he goes, but maggots. And he goes, if you're not comfortable with maggots, we have these things called mealworms. I'm like, I ain't doing it with maggots. I know what maggots are.
What are mealworms exactly? Just like tiny little...
You know what? I'm so uneducated to this day. I never want to see a mealworm again in my life.
Well, I watched this scene, just FYI. I had to search and watch this scene. And again, I just, my heart is like breaking for you, because I will get there, but some of the commentary that the crew was yelling at you, and I'm just going to say it, they told you to cover your penis hole. I mean, that is a sick thing to say to a 14-year-old boy who is in a compromising position with bugs all over. I mean, my stomach was turning, but let's go back. So you book this part, and you mentioned something, and I'm like, how the hell does this even work? How they're not going to pay you up front. You have to
Can I give you the context real quick of that penis hole comment?
Oh, sure. Sure. Yes.
Again, I mean, there always has to be context on why something was possibly said. Mm-hmm. I was in pajamas and long johns, and I was being covered in these mealworms and partially some maggots. And they said, somebody yelled out, and Brian and everybody was telling me, hey, they can burrow in through your clothing. And you know what? Make sure you cover your penis hole. So they were making a joke where it could have burrowed, and they're like, oh, it's going to go or cover your penis hole.
That's not funny to a 14-year-old boy. Honestly, maybe that's funny to David Spade or you know, whatever. That's not funny.
They were trying to put the fear that these mealworms and or maggots can creep in and, you know, in a joking manner, cover your pee hole or put it on, you know, cover your pee hole, because now I'm afraid. So now we're about to film the shot. And then now I have to do it for like 30 minutes. It seemed to go longer. They kept filming and filming. I don't know why they did it that way, but they initially had me wear a set of pajamas that, in my opinion, were a little bit too transparent, like really thinly white, you know, like a wet t-shirt contest type of thing.
And I saw the pajamas and they kind of look like that. They do.
Well,
they
don't. No, they actually had to give me, because I made a sheen when I put on the pajamas. I felt like they could actually see my skin, you know, if I got any water on it or whatever. And I have body insecurities. I'm like, I ain't wearing these pajamas. Go get me another set. Go get me another set. So they went to the local Walmart and then they bought me like a white and blue pajamas. But they were like, oh, we don't have time. We don't have time. And I'm like, get it effing done. I don't care.
I mean, that's very, very uncomfortable. The whole
and they
thing.
Didn't they didn't have long johns when they were going to pour these mealworms on me and in those possibly transparent white pajamas. There was nothing underneath, and I knew that they might burrow under the pajamas or somehow get in. So I recommended, I said, buy me a pair of long johns at the Walmart or wherever you guys are going. Buy me another set of pajamas that are not white and possibly transparent. So, and then they were like, oh, we don't have the time. I'm like, get it done, get it done. And they got it done.
And this is all stemming from the brain of convicted pedophile Brian Peck. Now,
yeah, and then he asked me, and again, I don't know if you remember from my video.
Yep.
But we weren't able to, my father wasn't able to travel to San Diego and miss
work. Oh, I remember.
Oh, so, yeah, I didn't know if you were thinking about that storyline.
No, please share. Please share. This is disturbing.
Yeah, so once I got the part on the show The Willies, you know, agents and everybody start contacting each other. And then a couple of days before that, or maybe around that time before we actually filmed in San Diego. I think I hung out with Brian Peck on the set of Growing Pains.
Yes.
Because it was local to my hood and he was a dialogue coach there. Mm-hmm. So I think I went on the set and watched it from the audience and met Jeremy Miller and the cast of Growing Pains, you know, with Brian Peck. And Brian's like, hey, he's going to be in my new movie that I'm filming, you know, the next couple weeks or whatever. And that was a great experience. And Kirk Cameron and some of the other people guest star in that actual movie.
I saw. Yeah. It's a good cast. Like Sean Astin too. I was like, wow. Yeah,
the movie was filmed though, like over 3 years though. Like, so he only had enough money to film or whatever, certain parts, 1 year. Yeah. That's why Jeremy Miller, he's a little bit younger, like 3 years younger. And
right.
That's how the movie went. But I was, you know, given a hotel or told my father could not make it due to the financial constraints that he needed to work for the 10 days that we were filming. And Brian Peck offered to, you know, stay in the hotel with him and to drive me and to be like my chaperone, my dialogue coach.
You mean stay in the hotel with you, he offered, because your dad couldn't be there.
Correct. To stay in the hotel with
me. Can you elaborate the fact that your dad couldn't be there because he had to work because you were not getting paid for this yet?
Yes, the contract was on deferred payment for the movie, meaning whenever they make any money, they supposedly defer it for another time. Because again, he didn't have a lot of money. I guess he was independently producing it with a couple of people or however that worked. I do not know.
Okay.
So he's doing everything on the cheap. So again, the offer was from, you know, of course my father should be with me, but my dad's like, man, we're going to lose a lot of money. I'm going to lose a lot of money if I go to the set with Michael, you know, for like 2 weeks at least. That's probably like, you know, a couple $1,000s that we need to pay. So I'm the only parent. Like, my mother didn't live with me and my brother wasn't old enough. Mm-hmm. My dad's like, we can't do that. Okay. So Brian Peck is like, I'll offer to have him in my hotel or share a hotel with me, be his chaperone, be his dialogue coach, as well as the director, producer, whatever. And my dad is like, no. No. No.
Oh, and
then, then my agent got a hold of all of them, and I don't know what they did, but next thing you know, and I believe it was my agency, my agent was an angel. She said, Michael, I'll give your dad $3,000 for him to take the time off. Mm. Hopefully he doesn't get fired or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And go down and film the movie. Plus you got an extra $1,000 in case anything happens. Like if your dad gets fired, you know, he can't pay the rent that month or whatever. So my dad worked it out with his employers at the time. And we're like, okay. So we went. And then Brian was very upset. He was very upset.
Wow. That your dad shows up.
Yes.
He's visibly like, what the hell? Like, why?
Well, it's a few days before. He's like, am I picking you up? And we're like, no, we're good. You know? He's like, okay, well, you know, I got a hotel room and this and that. You can stay with me and blah, blah, blah. And then again, it all kind of happened quickly, but we're like, no, we're good. You know, I'm showing up. I got a ride. You don't need to pick me up or find transport. And then I showed up with my dad and my brother. We brought the entire family.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, your dad's here. He's like, what happened? I'm like, hey, this is what happened. We told you we needed money. I cannot stay with you. My dad wouldn't allow it to happen. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I got this room for us. I got a big, like, 2-bedroom, you know, hotel room. You know, it cost me more money or whatever the situation was. I'm like, I don't care. My dad's like, I don't care.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... Thank God for your dad.
It's scary. Like, looking back as an adult, now I understand all of this more. But like I said, that's why I thanked my father and even my agent. I've had some good people in my career that were kind of really looking out for me in almost as best a possible job as they can do. So I'm a very blessed and lucky actor as compared to the other stories we're hearing about.
Oh my gosh. I guess that really did leave me speechless after what we all just heard. And you mentioned a few other things on the set that were a little... what's that?
Yeah, we didn't finish the story about... Yeah. He kept wanting to go... Brian Peck kept asking me to, like, help me change into my clothing. And then after we filmed with the maggots, I wanted to just immediately rip it off. And they're like, oh, there could be maggots in your clothing. So Brian's like, oh, let me go in the bathroom with you. And, you know, I can find anything while you're taking it off. And, you know, he kept wanting to go to the bathroom with me or watch me put on the pajamas to help me. And
or you said something like that his excuse was like, I need to give you notes. I need to help you. And we don't, and you're like, let me just do it after I change, I'll come back out. And he's like, no, there's no time. I have to come in. And you're like, you know what? Yes. My dad will help me and then I'll come out. But he was insistent on it. It wasn't like one ask. It was like, well, it was more like a few times.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what the agenda was at that moment. Sure. I don't know why you can't just say, hey, go ahead, Michael. You know how to change your clothing on your own.
When you come back out,
we can discuss the next scene.
Wow.
Why? But I knew that at that moment, even though my dad was not right there, I was smart enough to, at 14 or whatever age I am, I'm like, no, you ain't coming in here. Ain't nobody seeing me naked. I know how to change my own clothes. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if you guys need to get ready for the next scene. I don't care. But you could be labeled a difficult actor if you don't go along with these ridiculous things that happen. To this day, I get labeled as hard to work with. I do. I really do. I probably have lost a ton of jobs or people hiring back for another job because at certain moments I speak my mind and I fight for myself. Mm-hmm. And again, as a child, not everybody understands that at the moment. And I didn't understand it all, but I at least had 50% good judgment. I shouldn't have went to the hotel, but at least I had 50% good judgment on some of the instances. But
I think your head was on very straight. I really do. And I think a lot of that is attributed to your father as well for it being
it's
like
family.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's whatever you were taught before you were the age that you became an actor.
Hmm.
It's all of that stuff when you're 8 years of age and you're watching wrestling and how your parents teach you, hey, don't go into the street, look both ways. If an adult talks to you like this, stranger danger, you know, it's all up to the adult. Then if that child wants to become an actor or they pursue it, now if their alerts were at like 80% normally growing up, now your alerts have to be on 100% in teaching your child something more than just acting. You have to teach him life for a child actor around pedophilia and Hollywood. And that's why there needs to be clashes from SAG or AFTRA or other people like that. The minute somebody gets a job, a child actor, they have to complete that course before they can actually film. I'm just making this up as I'm talking.
No, I agree. I've said this. I'm going to be looking into a lot of this because it is really troublesome. We've got Megan's Law. We've got this law in 2012 that's supposed to protect child actors. And then you look at Brian Peck and he's on set with children. And I don't have the court docs, right, of what happened between him and Drake Bell. I just know that, you know, Drake Bell on the documentary said, imagine the worst thing that someone could do to assault you. And there you go. And that was troublesome. That was disturbing knowing that he's back on the street around children. But
yeah, I hung out with Brian, you know, the filming went well and I'm sure they had me do a lot of things that were, you know, for the movie that were just not good. Like there's a scene in the movie where but again, it's a character in a script. Mm-hmm. So I cannot say that, you know, looking
Brian
back now,
wrote though, keep in mind, he wrote it.
Yes. So, his mind is definitely with all of this evidence of everything that's possibly happening. It just proves a pattern that he is probably guilty. And you got to remember, his movie and all this stuff was in the early days of Growing Pains, but there's a video with him and Leonardo DiCaprio that is really disturbing. And I grew up with Leonardo DiCaprio. We were in the same acting class for many years.
Wow.
And we would hang out with Brittany Murphy, Toby and Leo were best friends.
I love Brittany.
Yeah, I love Brittany. Everybody loves Brittany.
Yeah.
And we would play at the bowling alley on Ventura Boulevard. And, you know, we'd hang out and eat French fries and play video games and go to acting classes with all of them. Jonathan Brandis, rest in peace.
So you're naming all of these actors.
I know that we grew up with,
so
that we
much.
Love.
Yes.
We love.
Oh,
so
my
sad.
Gosh.
I've worked with and met and I have befriended so many great people, you know. But the video from Brian Peck and Leo, now that I've watched it, I watched it a couple of years ago, but I didn't really investigate. I just thought his behavior with Leo and this, when he was hanging out with Leo, was around the time or maybe a year after we filmed his movie.
I'm going to have to look.
Yeah, the timeline, again, he was working on Growing Pains and Leo was hired in the final season of Growing Pains.
Right. I recall.
Yeah. So I filmed the movie and went to the set of Growing Pains on a couple of occasions. Even after filming the movie, I went back to the set of Growing Pains a couple of occasions. Then Leo got the role and I was in acting class with Leo. So then I'm like, hey, Leo, I'm going to go to the set of Growing Pains again and visit you, you know, one of these days. He's like, yeah, come on down. And he didn't know that I knew Brian Peck, that I filmed a movie with him.
Okay.
So I hung out with Leo and them on set. But then watching that video now, and after knowing everything that happened with Drake, he touches Leo so inappropriately.
I need to go watch this because I haven't seen it. So that's like the first thing I'm going to do. We definitely need a follow-up to this because I can tell that you have such amazing stories from, back in the day. And I think that we should absolutely do a follow-up. But just because I do need to wrap things up, I want to make sure that everybody knows where to follow you, where to find you, and just how they can see everything that you're doing. So I have links in the episode notes to this, everything with how to find you, but I would love for you to just shout it out as well.
I can't remember everything. Just search Google Michael Ray Bauer.
Okay, well, then I will handle that because you're on Cameo, you're on YouTube, you're on Instagram, you've got merch, you're just... You really are such a ray of light. I really appreciate our conversation, and I really enjoyed speaking with you.
So I cut the interview off a little abruptly because we just had some pleasantries and back and forths, but I did want to share that during those pleasantries, Michael shared with me that he saw Brian Peck at the movies after Brian was released from prison, and Brian appeared to be in good spirits. And then Michael was at an audition for the show Anger Management, which was a show with Charlie Sheen that Brian Peck worked on, and he saw him there. So Brian Peck is out living his life like it ain't no thing. And you know, you got Drake Bell over here who really had this downward spiral. And I attribute that to Brian Peck. So it's just really unfair that these pedophiles get to go and live their lives after they've completely destroyed the life of a child. But I will be looking into some of these laws. I'm going to be looking into some sets in Hollywood with children. I want to get to the bottom of this because it's just not right, and it's just so scary and dangerous, especially as a parent. But I loved Michael. He was so wonderful. And I want to do another interview with him because I have a feeling he has some amazing stories about other child stars that he worked with, like Brittany Murphy, like Leonardo DiCaprio. And I could just go on and on because he really is so interesting. But if you like this podcast, don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple or wherever you listen. So until next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.